Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Cantina Reviews here on the Genreverse YouTube channel. We are going to talk about The Acolyte season one, but at least The Acolyte episode one and The Acolyte episode two. I am Kyle, joined by my fellow servers here at the Cantina, on the Cantina. I don't know. We pretend we've got that thing, but Cam and Shockey, what's up, guys? We're here at a new Star Wars show review, and we've all got thoughts and we've all got feelings. How are you feeling? Before you talk about the show, Shockey, how are you feeling today, man? It's middle of the week. What's up?
I am feeling good. It is middle of the week. You know, almost at the weekend. We got some new Star Wars, so that's always at least something good, you know, whether it might be bad or it's at least a new Star Wars. I played Star Wars Hunters for all of 30 minutes last night and pretty much became a pro at that game. So, yeah. So
no need to play it any further, huh?
No. I mean, it's pretty repetitive. It's, I don't know how long it will last, but I mean, it's okay. Good for 5-year-old kids.
Is it going to disappear like Squadrons, you think?
Yes. It's going to, even, not even, what was the other mobile game that just basically lasted all of like 2 months? It'll be around that.
I don't even remember.
I know they're pushing out like crazy ads on social media for it, but I just don't see a lot of people playing it.
Cam, how you doing, man? You also played a new game, but it's not Star Wars related at all. Science fiction.
Science fiction, yeah. Destiny 2, the new expansion. Had a bit of a day off today to play the new expansion of that. So, but I won't bore you with talking about that. People don't come here to listen to that.
They do come to listen to us talk about the Acolyte. Make sure you guys like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. Good content here on the Genreverse. Check out Genreverse Sports. Listen to Cam chit-chat about some soccer along with some other British dudes. And check out the merch, lrmonline.com, for all the written news, celebrity interviews from LRM YouTube channel, and more. The Acolyte, general thoughts and feelings before we do some grades. I'll go first. I don't go first too often, but I will now. I've been saying that this is the definition of a mid-tier show. It's not good, it's not bad, it's lukewarm, and I mean mid as in like legitimate mid. It's mid shelf, it's middle of the road, not mid means bad. It wasn't as offensive as some of the writing on Kenobi or Book of Boba Fett. but it's a far cry from stuff like Mando season 1, Mando season 2, Andor. So far, I've heard some rumors, and they're only rumors right now, about some stuff in episodes 3 and 4 that might commit the cardinal sin that I'm against, which is reminding me of Earth. I don't want to be reminded of Earth. I want escapism. But we'll save words for those things if and when they come to pass. I think it's got some thin story, some thin plot, but it could end up being better than it started, but it could also end up being worse than it started. And that's kind of how I felt about it. I'm meh. What about you, Cam?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not far away from that. I mean, I enjoyed it so far, but I enjoyed the first couple of episodes of Ahsoka, and then it went tits up. So I'm like not ready to, you know, say I really enjoy this so far. It kind of depends where the story goes, really. You know, is it kind of, is it building up to something that's going to be, ooh, interesting? And I just don't know at the moment. I think the whole sort of mystery really solved fairly quickly, and I think I've got a fair idea of where it's going at the moment. So I'm kind of maybe looking for something unexpected to happen to kind of engage me a bit further as the plot gets towards the kind of finale. I'm not sure where it's going yet. Maybe that's a good thing. But yeah, it's okay so far. It looks better production value wise than anything but Andor, because there's none of that volume stuff really.
There was definitely something that was either the volume or traditional blue green screen, because there's some stuff in there.
There's
but
it still doesn't feel as small as like Kenobi. Everything felt small and filmed in one room in Kenobi. And you know, there's been enough set changes, environments. You know, they've had some open environments. You know, the snow planet. They've kind of jumped about a little bit between planets like taxis, but I'm okay with that in Star Wars. It's okay.
What about you, Shockey?
So far.
Yeah, not a bad start, not a great start in my eyes. I'm happy that we didn't get a lot of, like, a mention of Yoda or the Chosen One or midichlorians or anything like that. Yeah. It seems like it's its own, going down its own pathway. We'll get more into it in the spoiler sections, but the direction, or it kind of, I don't know, the pathway of this show I thought was going to be different from it. But overall, I was entertained. Nothing like Mando's, you know, the first episode of the Mando, where it was just mind-blowing to me, you know, in a sense, it's something so vastly different than what we've gotten and everything like that. I almost put it to, like, you know, Ahsoka episode one, episode two, where it was good, it had potential. Like, hey, if it goes down the right path, this is going to be pretty amazing. But to the same point, if it doesn't go down, you know, a good, you know, if it's lacking a good story, it's going to be a waste of six more episodes. So I'm still cautious. It's not a bad cautious. It's just, you know, like, you know, how much am I going to really invest into this and really, you know, sit down and love this series? And to, you know, the business side of it is, am I going to rewatch this series? Right? Because at the end of the day, it's all about rewatching, and how many times do you go back and rewatch these shows? And if you're making them for just one offs, where people just sit there and watch it one time, it's not
very
profitable.
Expensive,
yeah, it's
one.
A very expensive, you know, project to do. So that's going to be the ultimate, you know, decision there, is do I go back and watch it? And so it's, and you know, only the Mandalorian seasons 1, 2, and 3 and Andor, the only shows I've gone back to really sit down and watch from beginning to end on there.
You haven't rewatched all the amazingness of Darth Vader chasing Obi-Wan Kenobi, but letting
him go
so he could chase him some more, right?
I've watched clips of Kenobi. I go and just to the certain episodes and the certain parts that I enjoy. That's pretty much it. But I mean, it hasn't been often. It's not like I do it every single night or anything. It's not like, you know, for example, The Office, right? Or the United States version of The Office, at least, Cam. You know, it's on syndicate here, and every time it's on and I see it on television, I stop and watch at least an episode or two and stuff. It's, that to me is like the top shelf, you know, type show you want to make. There's a bunch of bottom tier shelves and stuff that, you know, you can make that.
Well, a comedy series where every episode's slightly different, though, you know, in its own contained stories, a little bit different from a drama.
Okay,
series.
So,
how many
Game
times
of Thrones
are you going to rewatch Breaking Bad, but it's still great?
Yeah, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones.
How many times have you rewatched Game
besides,
of Thrones?
A couple. One, like seasons 1 through bod.
Christine's like, watched it like 3-4 times.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
especially
I've
the first
back,
like
yeah.
5 or 6 seasons.
It is before what was it? House of the Dragon came on. I went back and rewatched it again because, listen, I'm no good with names or anything. You guys, I've had too many hits in the head and stuff, so I can't remember people. So I have to go and refresh and watch this. But it's still for entertainment value. I'll go back and watch Game of Thrones. Yeah. I'll watch Breaking Bad. Same concept, you know. I go back and rewatch those. So.
I've watched Cam to like your point. I guess one that might be similar, like things like a Battlestar, Band of Brothers, even Stranger Things. Yeah. Those are all things that we've watched multiple.
Yeah, and that's
times.
We put those shows yeah. up here. So will we put Acolyte up there right now? No. It's the first two episodes. This is just kind of a one off for me, and you know, hey, great, you know. But to that point is I remember going back and watching the first episode of The Mandalorian that week, probably three mm-hmm. times, you know, just yeah. to pick up all the little nuances and just entertainment value too and stuff. So will I go back and watch these first two episodes again? Probably not, you know, unless something drastic happens in the next two episodes or you know, or is this series kind of develops itself and it's something, wow, I need to go back and rewatch 1 and 2 to see, you know, things I missed or whatever, then you know, we'll see. But yeah, it's good because it's Star Wars, but at the same time too, like you said, it's mid, it's one and done, you know, for me right now.
I don't know what the rewatchability will be like, but what would you grade it, Shockey? This two episode premiere as one, because it kind
okay.
of is. It's a whole arc.
It's
so
a whole,
like,
yeah.
What do you grade the premiere, if you will?
Like right at like a scale, you know, 0 to 100
plus
yeah,
minus.
So it, like a C plus. Yeah, C plus. I wouldn't even say B minus. C plus. It's right there. It's close to a B minus, but it's C plus.
I'm with you on that yeah. one. C plus easily. Cam, what about you?
Maybe slightly higher, B minus.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it definitely.
Cam, the optimist and positive one amongst us, which is just weird because he's the European and they're all supposed to be like, you know, dour and pessimistic. And
oh man.
What do you think does it for you, Cam, that puts it above the C range?
I mean, I think it was just that I'm intrigued to find out some more about what happens next. You know, there's elements that I can see potential pathways that are very linear pathways that I could see it taking, or I'm hoping to be more surprised and not have guessed where some things are going, but I still kind of want to find out more. There's something more to find out there, and I don't think that's the case in some, like it wasn't the case in Obi-Wan Kenobi, it wasn't the case in Ahsoka or Book of Boba Fett even, you know, it was more just what's going to happen at the end, and it's not that kind of show, but at the same time as it depends how good, you know, an idea they've come up with, you know, and how much red herrings they're maybe putting in there and trying to kind of pull the wool over his eyes. It's not super sophisticated at the moment, you know, but it could be if they're leading us down certain paths and it's not the way that we imagine it's going to go.
Well, let's stick on
and
this.
I think that's, yeah.
I was going to go ahead, finish your thought.
I was just thinking, I think that's at the moment why for me it's, you know, I'm like, I watch next week, but it could get to that point where I go, kind of went that way, it's not as interesting as I thought, and then I would go back and probably grade it as, you know, as maybe a C plus or a C, you know, at that point. So that's always reserved right to change.
Always reserve right to change in context. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the positives in the show. I know there's a lot of extremes for this already on the internet. It's either the greatest thing since the last greatest thing, or it's absolute trash. All of us kind of seem to think it's meh. Potential,
I think
maybe.
It's the more reasonable view. I think you've got people who just say it's Star Wars, so I love it, and then you've got people who say You know, Disney's destroying my childhood. Let's boycott Disney. Nobody watched this. I haven't watched it, but I know this show is terrible, even though I've not watched a single second of it. So you've got the two ranges, and I think where we are is probably a more reasonable view of where the show is. You know?
Yeah. So, but let's talk about what you did find positive in this. Some spoilers, guys, you're welcome to mention whatever you want, like how George Lucas himself shows up as God in this episode. Absolute, like, just craziness, right? No, but yeah, positivity. What is working for you in this show? What did you like, Cam?
It's so... I like the fact that it's... I like that we're seeing the Jedi in a very different period from what we're used to seeing them in. And that you can see that both aesthetically and in their sort of attitude, like their willingness to just mind read somebody, you know, without really asking any permission. You know, there's an almost an arrogance about the Jedi in this. And also a hint of lack of competence as well, like rustiness, not prepared for really the threats that are out there. You know, that's and I kind of like that, because any organization will destroy itself from the inside, and we know that the dogmatic view of the Jedi did kind of come back to haunt them a little bit. So it's interesting to see that point of view, Jedi not necessarily being just the best people that they possibly can be. You know, they're humans as well, and I think there's just that arrogance there, which maybe you don't get from an Obi-Wan Kenobi, who's quite a humble character, you know, and in many people's minds, sometimes the perfect Jedi Knight, you know, and none of these guys really are, you know, and I think that we're going to find out that there's they've not done always the best things sometimes, these Jedi. So, yeah, that's positive for me. Chuck, that's the main thing.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yeah, I'm with Cam on this. I liked, so I think I mentioned to you guys that these two episodes make me hate the Jedi. And you know, it's a good thing, because you know, all we've seen for so long is, you know, Anakin, Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon, Yoda, the best of the best of the Jedi, right? And you gotta realize that there's some bad Jedi out there that don't, you know, adhere to the code or take the code too serious, or, you know, it's just like you know, there's good teachers and there's bad teachers. There's good cops and there's bad cops. There's, you know, there's always going to be a bad side. And that's, I think, what this story is trying to expose, is that while the Jedi Order in itself is, you know, is a, like a fundamentally means to be a peaceful, you know, organization to maintain peace throughout the galaxy, what is that definition of peace to some people, and how do you take it, you know, to extremes and stuff? And so I think we're seeing kind of the you know, the stretches of it and the ideology. I think it was a Master Souls, you know, kind of the Qui-Gon-esque of the, you know, the Jedi we've seen before. And then what was it? The Jedi Knight, Fandor, the young guy,
Orban? No. Yord.
Yord.
The guy that keeps igniting his lightsaber.
Yeah, right. He kind of gives off that, you know, that young Obi-Wan we saw in The Phantom Menace, but, you know, even more to a more extreme, right? Like you said, he's always ready to ignite his lightsaber, always ready to go in and you know, bust doors down and stuff and you know, and try to make a name for himself and stuff. So I think that it's showing that part of the
Jedi.
Don't feel
there's any wisdom in him.
Correct.
You don't feel that maturity and wisdom from him. You feel that he's an inexperienced and...
Yeah, and so it's
maybe slightly naive.
Yeah, we got a little bit with Indara at the very beginning with Carrie Ann Moss's character. You know, it's a different style of Jedi, and so I like it. I like how we're seeing all different types. We're not seeing the best of the best anymore. These are very, you know, average. To below average Jedi Knights and stuff. And so this is where you kind of see why people, you know, were so easy to, or, you know, characters were so easy to turn on Order 66. And when the Emperor says, hey, the Jedi Knight were, you know, plotting, you know, to take over the Republic. Well, now you can kind of see that there's a group of people out there like, oh yeah, I can definitely believe that. Seeing this, you know, there are examples and their views for the Jedi. So it gives us that point of story there.
I can see some of that. It's hard to think of a time in a visual medium that they haven't shown Jedi to be incompetent. Not all Jedi, but the Order in general. Right. You think even in the prequels, no one believes there's a Sith running around. They're blind. They're incompetent. And when you get into the sequel stuff, Luke is the only official Jedi. And while we all have had discussions, positive and negative, about Luke in the sequel trilogy, and in the original trilogy, there really is no, you know, Jedi really. There, it's fallen, right? So it is interesting that visually, sure, we've seen some really good Jedi, but we've never seen the Jedi Order at its best. And the way I understand it, even in the height of the High Republic, which is a while before this is the tail end of the High Republic, the Jedi still are having people deal with internal conflict and what they should or shouldn't do. So it's a weird one, and the EU did similar. Luke struggled with the Jedi's role in government versus its role in the military versus its role in civil society, if you will. Positives for me for this, there's not really a whole lot. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff that's just not offensive. It's just kind of like, hey, yeah, you did that. Water is wet, sky is blue, grass is green type stuff, which, given some of the things they've done in past Star Wars shows, I guess I can take as a win. It's nice to see different planets. The general production quality seems good. Generally, there are some scenes where it's like, yeah, your green screen or your use of the volume here sticks out. It's usually outdoor shots. The wooded planet at the end had issues with that, but costumes good, physical set designs good. When you really think about all that they've shown us, there really hasn't been a whole lot. It's a lot of people, a lot of indoor stuff, you know, whether it's in a ship's cab or in a space station
small
or
area.
In a, yeah. Which is fine, cause this is more like that type of show. But no, let's dig into some of the stuff that didn't work, because if things are lukewarm, then that means there's gotta be something cooling it off. What was cooling off the show, the series for you, Shockey?
The lack of the direction of the show, basically. So it's called The Acolyte, right? It's supposed like we've been teased, like this is supposed to be about the Sith and you know, the you know, all this. And we got maybe 10 seconds of a potential Sith Lord, you know, the Acolyte and stuff. And stuff, it's like it's more Jedi. And that's where I was kind of like confused with the show. I think the reason why I consider it mid, right? If you called it a different show and called it the High Republic, right? The Jedi High Republic show and stuff. I think I come in with it with a different view or different angle. Now, this is just two episodes in, but if you're going to call it this, the Acolyte, and you're going to hype it up as saying this is a show about the Sith and the rule of two and stuff, you why can't we do that perspective of it? I mean, we already
just
have,
start with that and stick
yeah,
with
start
it.
With we have. So much already from Star Wars coming from the Jedi viewpoint, the good guys, the rebellion. You know, what makes some of the best part of Star Wars is looking at it from a different lens. Like, why is Rogue One such a like great movie and into a lot of people's eyes? Because it's no Jedi.
No Skywalker.
No Skywalker. Palpatine. No Jedi. Right. It's basically the foundation of the rebellion in a sense, but it's normal.
Just some dudes and a
yeah, some dudes with some guns, yeah, and just, that's it. I mean, and it does take a little bit more on the Empire side and stuff, and you know, that's what I liked about. I mean, I loved about Rogue One. It was so different. And so even if you're gonna call the show The Acolyte, right? Maybe in the next couple episodes, if it starts to turn and we see more of the dark side and more Sith and, you know, that viewpoint, maybe it'll flip. But for me, it's a tease, right? You're hyping up the Sith. And I get two episodes of CSI Jedi, you know, and stuff. And I'm like, okay, if don't call it that, then don't hype it up. You know, call it
CJI, Criminal Jedi
CJI,
Investigators.
Yeah, exactly. You know, give me that, and I'm okay with it. Maybe I give it a better grade, but all I've been hearing about is this is the show that's gonna tap into the you know into the dark side and see you know the Sith and all, and we got 10 seconds of it. And so that's to me my biggest letdown of all this. Because if I go into it with a different viewpoint, different lens, I think probably I rate the show a little bit better. But to me, the reason why I was mid was because I was told it's going to be about this, and I'm still not, two episodes in, I'm not there. And it's 2 out of 8. So we're,
already a
quarter of the way done. Right. And so. And these episodes don't go, you know, more than 40 minutes max. So, I don't know. I think this was a big time miss, you know, is that we keep on talking about what can Disney do, what can Lucasfilm do to get back to where we were at Rogue One, you know?
Yeah.
Is go do something different. Don't go, like, I'm glad we didn't see Yoda. I'm glad it's not talk about the Chosen One or midichlorians and stuff like that. But at the same time, too, it's still the Jedi Order. We've done this over and over. We had 7 seasons of the Clone Wars, you know, while it was, you know, the Clone Troopers. But we got Plo Koon and Ki-Adi-Mundi and all those different characters from the Jedi Order at that point and stuff. I mean, we got it, you know. We know the Jedi Order is flawed. We know they're arrogant. We know that, you know, they didn't do everything right. We've gotten 9 movies from it. We've gotten, you know, all these other extra things. Why can't we really tap in and go in a different direction and do something different? Because that's what's going to sell Star Wars to the masses and be like, listen, we're doing something very different. That's why Rogue One captured so many people and it's well regarded amongst almost all Star Wars fans. You ask, you know, Star Wars fans, what was the best Disney project to come out, you know, so far with Star Wars?
A lot will say
Rogue One. You know, there will be some fans that will say, you know, there's something from the sequel trilogies, and that's fine and stuff. But when you're talking about
Kenobi.
Andor,
right? What makes Andor basically regarded as the best Disney Plus show, you know, is
Riding, but it was
in a different direction, right? It was nothing to do with the Force, nothing to do with the Jedi and stuff. We got that, and I respect Lucas's, you know, vision he's created and his universe he's created and stuff. But at the same time, too, let's play in the sandbox with the other toys. We use these toys, so they're basically almost broken. They're worn down. There's all these other toys over here that we can play in the sandbox with and pull out and have so much fun with. And so that's why the clone troopers are in the Clone Wars episodes and stuff like so many young fans love that, is because it's different. You know, it's not the same old, same old there, you know. But yeah, that's to me, like my biggest, you know, gripe right now with this show was that I feel like
more darkness.
It definitely, let's tap into it, guys. Let's really get into the darkness. Why is Darth Vader regarded as one of the greatest characters of all time? Because how dark he was, you know.
Before someone made him just a fucking crybaby.
He's gonna kill his own kid. You know?
Yeah. Cam, what about you? What's not working, man?
I mean, I think I've got to agree with Shoki quite a bit there, because I think for me it's like we start off exploring May. She's the Acolyte. But after that, we then spend more time with all the other characters than we ever do with May. Like, Osha has been on screen more than May so far. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like Osha's show rather than May's show. And I know the twins and all that sort of stuff, but as you say, Shoki, it's like it's Osha and her former Jedi Masters, whereas May, we've seen talk to one person so far, and then a very tiny brief shot of whatever the Sith is that's sending her on these missions, igniting a lightsaber. And even then, I didn't like the editing of that.
No, I didn't like that.
He appeared, he said his line, he ignited his lightsaber, and then it just cut. And I didn't like that. It was like the first episode, I didn't like the very start, I didn't like the very end. And I'm not talking about the first scene or the end scene, I'm talking about the actual, you know, when May walks in and challenges Indara at first, you know, I'm a bit like, you know, it was okay once they start fighting, but it was a bit weird just up to that point. I don't know, it just didn't feel right to me.
Right.
And again, the end when she goes to see the Master and we get one line and then it just cuts. And I'm thinking, that's what I want to see more of. And I know this character is going to come back up in future episodes. So it could become more Sith orientated as you go on. I mean, you said that, but at the moment, it's more about the failure of the Jedi, kind of like from the inside out, rather than what the Sith are doing. You know, it's not really the Sith that are doing anything. They're just kind of killing some people off for revenge, and the Jedi are kind of just falling into this trap all by themselves without any Sith influence, it seems, at the moment. That's probably the main thing for me as well. I like dark, and it probably
everything's gonna
isn't that dark yet.
I feel like everything's gonna end up being a thing about making May's character sympathetic, and you gotta understand why. And yes, Jedi bad. Jedi are cops bad. Sometimes
you have to have that, though, because
I'm
evil and I want to become a Sith. You know, there's reasons. Like, Anakin had reasons that he went that way. Dooku had reasons that he went that way. And I'm sure May has reasons, and so did the guy who's training her and whoever the Master is and all that sort of stuff. But
why can't we have a Jeffrey Dahmer of the Sith? Like, just a pure evil person.
We did in the EU. We had several of them. And Palpatine is, like, the only one. But even then, you had the EU try to be like, oh, Palpatine did all that to try to protect the galaxy from the Vong,
George Lucas even says, though, that Palpatine thinks he's doing the right thing. It's just his way or the highway.
But there's nothing sympathetic about it.
Why would people not want to live under my rule?
Nothing
sympathetic about it.
Listen, I like this story, like from Tales of the Jedi, the fall of Count Dooku. That to me is sympathetic towards that and stuff. That was a great, like, it is short storyline, and so to pretty much show why he went over to the dark side and stuff. Palpatine, you know, you can theorize whatever, you know, whether it was power, whether it was, you know, stuff. But why can't we just have a Sith, you know, acolyte, whatever, and, you know, just be bad. Just say, look at the Dark Knight, right? There was no backstory with the Joker or why the Joker became the Joker. We just basically knew that is a bad dude and he wants to, you know, to kill people and he enjoys it. Why can't we have that in Star Wars? Because that to me would take this show to the next level. We don't need the sympathetic backstory. Why somebody
the crazy Joker make a good Sith?
Oh my gosh, yes. Like, if you're talking about going around and killing Jedi.
If you were a Palpatine, would you want that? You'd be like, this guy's a liability.
I mean, Darth Maul was kind of that, like, in a sense, Darth Maul was kind of that.
An enforcer. But he wasn't crazy. He would do what he was told. That's the thing. A Sith master wants their apprentice to do exactly what they're told.
I wouldn't be against having a berserker, if you will, berserker Sith. And but also, I'm one of those that thinks the movie and TV shows took the whole rule of two thing way too seriously and way too fucking, excuse me for the F-bomb. It's been a really shitty week, couple weeks. They take it so freaking literally that it binds so much storytelling that the EU either ignored or just did its own thing because it was after the old rule of two, because it was so limiting if you take it, that literal. The idea of the Sith armies, like army of dark side force users. I love that shit way more than two dudes brooding together in a like freaking closet somewhere.
And stuff, from like the video.
Stupid.
Game. Yeah.
Those are some of my things. Negativity from, I got Cam, you good? You're done.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember. So I usually pick on things that the others don't. I can agree. I would love more Sith related stuff or dark side force user related stuff in this show called The Acolyte, which we were told was going to be on the darker side. So I'm with you guys on that. This made the cardinal sin of reminding me of Earth, and it might do it again next week. But my God, having Trinity be the Matrix fight Jedi was just the type of bullshit cameo I said I didn't want in our preview show. I knew she was going to be in it. I knew everything was coming, but I didn't know just how much they were like, hey, you guys, you remember the Matrix? Would it be cool if we do the Matrix in Star Wars with a person from the Matrix? It'll be the tits, man. I don't like that. I don't, it's too on the frickin' nose. It would be like them having a superhero type character in Star Wars and having Chris Evans or Chris Hemsworth play him. I would freaking hate it with a passion. So I didn't like that. Let me pull out my.
Well, I mean,
my
it's like Jack quick. Black being in the Mandalorian series as yes, the comedic that. Relief, right?
You Lizzo know, like, and Jack Black. That was just so bullcrap. Like I don't.
It wasn't like Jack know. Black was playing a serious character or something out of his realm. It was
sure.
comedic relief, and it was like, okay, yeah. we know who this guy is. To your point, yeah, I get that
exactly. Like,
that was straight up Trinity in Star Wars.
Plus, Carrie Ann Moss is a good actor, and she has.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Yeah. Great. I think we may
see some more of in flashbacks, though. I don't think she's done in the series. I don't. Even though she's dead.
We've got another multi-tool that can do anything and everything that R2-D2 can do, but all in the size of a VHS cassette. Mm. Her little droid. Whatever its name was, I can't remember. I don't like that. I like, one, we need another cute droid. This one can put out fires, can laser cut, can, like, it literally does everything R2 could do in a much smaller package. I thought that was kind of dumb. Mechnic? Really? We really have to come up with our own Star Wars word for mechanic now, even though EU and I'm sure somewhere out there in one of these cartoons, the word mechanic has been said. It's got to be said,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
This mechanic thing.
I thought though mechanic was specifically because they go outside the starship. And
yeah, not just really a regular mechanic. Yeah.
Drones.
I don't
that.
Know,
yeah,
but
it was these people that do this.
Going why do you need a? Why do you? Wouldn't that be more like I don't know, astromech, which is I know what the droids are, but mechnik. What says extravehicular in that? It sounds stupid. It sounds like they're coming up with their own mechanic word. Maybe
I think they
maybe
took it from
maybe
astromech.
Not.
I think yeah, mean astromech.
But again, mech,
you know, or something like that.
We've we've never had this before. It's one of those things. I don't.
Yeah, but this is 100 years ago. This is 100 years ago, though. You know, so
maybe
why
got
are
the
they
words?
So okay no then. Okay, so what about all the other words that they managed to keep? Come on now, let's not give them that much.
What
credit.
If we got the word mechanic from Mechnik and it's ooh? Yeah.
Oh my ass, my ass. The acting. The acting ranges from pretty decent to like soap opera level. Whoever's the lead Jedi Master here, the green skin chick. Awful.
Vinesh Trudeau was the character. Rebecca Henderson, I believe.
I don't know, but her acting is as stiff as can be. It's absolutely just like it feels like she's in a soap opera. And then Fat Jedi. Really? Like he's going to be using the Force to focus on being able to move and do what a Jedi needs to do in this era. Too much augmenting his body needs to lose some weight. Yeah, those are my negatives.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Anyone have anything else to say about it?
There's potential, at least, you know.
Yeah.
There is potential for this show to be, not to say the greatest thing since sliced bread or the greatest Star Wars show ever, but it's got potential to move up and be one of those like, oh, okay, yeah, this was a great show, great series and stuff.
Yeah, you just want to get to the end and say, I'm glad they made this.
Right, yeah.
You know, which we do.
Listen, I want to be at a point where I got to say, I got to go back and watch episode one and episode two
to pick up something.
I want to be. If I can now, say that, I'm a happy guy.
Let me ask you this, though. Everything that you've seen, heard about this series in general, news, rumors, leaks, whatever, plus what you've seen in these first two episodes, gun to your head, do you actually think that this will end up being even a B+ series? Seriously.
It's got
Shocky.
Oh, okay. I think
not. Do you think the potential, do you honestly think it will? Do you think they will actually do what's necessary to make this a B+ or higher?
Shoot. Okay. All right. So you guys already know that, like, I don't believe majority of the reviewers that come out saying they saw the first four episodes and stuff, except for like a handful, like Jordan Mason, you know, I respect and stuff, Investment Bullets and a couple other Star Wars guys. They said that it's third and fourth episode goes, it's better. So gun to my head, I'm going to say yes. I can get to a B+. That's not the greatest ever. It's not, you know.
B+ is not bad at all, man.
B+ is good, yeah.
B+ is like their Fs are crazy out there in the world, but they do exist.
Yeah, so does it have? Could it get to B+? Yes, it can. Let's hope episode 3 and 4, like some of the now, I'm coming after those YouTubers and TikTokers and all that kind of stuff that got to go to the premiere and got to meet Dave Filoni and shit and say this is the greatest thing ever, you're full of shit. I'm gonna tell you that right now. That, without a doubt, it's not the greatest thing. It's not better than Rogue One. It's not better than Andor. And remember, I wasn't sold on Andor right away. Yeah. I had to go back and wait till the end of it and then rewatch it and be like, damn, this was a really good series. I missed out on the first part. But for those that
were excited, none of us were excited for Andor.
We thought it was going to be just mid and something, you know, to get us through to the next thing. We thought Book of Boba Fett was going to be amazing. So for all those YouTubers, TikTokers, bloggers out there that got, you know, what they wish for and got to go see the premiere and stuff and put those bullshit social media reviews out there, you're full of shit, all right? You know, this is, you know, 100%. This is why I don't trust the PR marketing campaigns that these companies are doing. And this is, and to be honest, this is why the whole movie, film, streaming industry is failing, is because you're being fed a bunch of bullshit. Oh, go watch this, is greatest thing. We got this kid who sits in his house. And listen, I'm in my own house too, right? And I'm recording this podcast and stuff. But I'm 100% real and honest when I call out. I love Star Wars to death. If you don't see it, but there's been a lot of bad Star Wars recently. I still love it. I still watch it. I still love Star Wars to the day I die and stuff. But I'm not going to sell myself out just to get a free trip to LA and go see a film, you know, go see it in a movie theater or go sit in a, you know, in a room with Dave Filoni and talk him up and stuff like that. Listen, Dave Filoni, I love the Clone Wars stuff. I love Mando season 1 and season 2, but for recently, his record along with Kathleen Kennedy and stuff like that, not the greatest. I'm going to call it out. Do I think he's a bad guy? Do I think he's old? No. Is there room for potential? Yes. But to bring these people in and say this is the, and for them to go on social media and say how amazing the first two episodes are, you're full of shit. I'm going to call it out on there. Now, can there be people that actually love this, you know, and think it's great? Yes. But for that many people to go out, and there was hardly any, I don't think there was, I found one negative review, anything out there from those journalists or, you know, people.
Early social media reviews.
Early social media reviews. Yeah. There's not one of those that came out and said, yeah, it's okay, it's mid, you know, and be, you know, honest about it and stuff. You know, I just, that's where I lose my faith in Star Wars. I want to see more Star Wars? Yes. Do I want to see great Star Wars? Yes. Am I okay with every so often there's a show that's not for my partaking? Sure. You know, a lot of that out there and stuff. But
too much bad in a row.
I'm okay with bad in a row. It's like, you know, it's like playing sports. Sometimes you just you get on a streak and you just, you know, whether it's baseball and you're 0-10 or whatever, but then next five games you go, you know, and hit 400, 500. I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is feeding me bullshit, you know, and telling me that this is great when it's really not. Yeah, I understand you got to market it, you got to PR it and do it, but do it the right way.
Not only that, but to like the comment earlier about, you know, B plus isn't bad. No, B plus is solidly good. Like you should be happy. Like there are people in college going for like doctorate programs and masters where a B plus is absolutely phenomenal. And in movies, a B plus doesn't mean it was bad in any way, but you have people where literally everything is the greatest thing since the last greatest thing. Ahsoka was only just barely better than Kenobi. Kenobi was only just better than whatever came before it. Boba Fett, I think. Everything is better than what came before. They're like Barney Stinson.
Nothing's tops
and How I
Mando
Met Your
season
mother.
One right now. Like so,
now
we're more
is,
like
our newest.
So I think you got
Mando season 2 personally. But, okay.
All right, I'll give you Mando season 2. I think they're close either or. It's a coin flip. I prefer Mando season 1 versus season 2, but it's coin flip there. But I think you got Andor's the top, Mando's season 1, season 2, wherever you want to put it there and stuff. And then it's a very distant, you know, fourth, fifth place there and stuff. I mean, and that's, and like to your point, like, you know, you're talking about A's and B pluses and stuff. to D's and F's, you know,
yeah.
You completely missed it. So like, I'll take a C plus for right now and a B minus and stuff to get me through this stuff. But don't tell me, don't have people feed me on social media and all this. Like, come out with your commercials, come out with your trailers, but don't say, have people on there saying, this is amazing. This is as greatest Star Wars piece, you know, since Andor or whatever and stuff. Cause it's not, it's right. Two episodes and it's not. All right, now, can I change my opinion, you know, later on after 8 episodes? Sure, you know, after we get this whole thing. But you fed 4 episodes to these YouTubers and stuff, and we're halfway through it. And there's no way I could honestly say, I could go on the site right now, I could tell people here to, like, you need to go watch this show. It's amazing. And
straight up, I would tell people, wait until next week, we'll tell you whether
or not
you
should come out.
Listen, if you got nothing better else to do, if you're sitting at home twiddling your thumbs and you got nothing better else to do, okay, go ahead and watch it. But if there's, you know, other things in life going on, do that. You got better things you can do, you know, for right now. Now,
get a lot more enjoyment out of going and loving yourself for a few minutes in the bathroom than you will watching this show.
you are right.
Cam, do you honestly believe that they will up this show and that it will end in a B+ or higher range?
Right. I'll give you two possible storylines. One that I'd be disappointed with and one that I think would work. Kamiya is either a red herring or there's something else going on with him managing Sentinel's character. The easiest way to do it, and I'd be disappointed with it, is he's her master. And he's keeping an eye on her and she doesn't know. Far more interesting would be he is her master's master. He is the Sith Lord and he is keeping an eye on his apprentice by watching what's going on with the Acolyte and might even use her to defeat the apprentice and take her on board as his main apprentice going forward. That would be far more interesting. And it would almost be like he's like the drunken master, you know, he appears just normal, you know, but, you know, there's a lot more going on there with him. That would be more interesting than he's just the guy with the teeth mask.
Yeah, I could dig that.
There you go.
Yeah, that would definitely up it, because that would be subverting some expectations for sure. I think don't
telegraphing the other one too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think that this ends up being in a B plus or higher range. I hope I'm wrong, but I really don't think it will. I don't see them turning things around ever. It's like when someone sees a trailer and we mention bad CGI in a trailer and they're like, oh, well, they've still got time before release. When was the last time they really fixed stuff before release? You think maybe Spider-Man, Homecoming, not Far From Home, not Homecoming, No Way Home, yeah. Homecoming. They did. They fixed what we saw in the trailer a bit, but I don't have a lot of faith. And that's the thing is, what could be almost worse than another bad show like Kenobi or Boba Fett is just a complete mediocre one. One of just nothing but wasted potential.
So wait,
I don't want this to be that, but I have a fear that's what it will end up as.
Cam, what's your theory, that like the good theory?
The good theory would be that he is the Sith Master. He's not the person that's sending her on these missions.
The pharmacist.
That's someone else. That's the guy we see in the mask. He's the pharmacist, Kamiya, that he's actually his master. He's the Sith Lord.
Gotcha.
You know, and the very powerful one.
I would like that.
I'm down with that.
Just blending in.
To take a look at a Sith that's able to
Palpatine could blend in with any of the Jedi when he was a Sith.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so that's a Sith master.
Yeah, still, and not just blend in a way of a power position, but blend in to, because Sith are always known to be very proud, to blend in as a bottom feeder, as a no one. You know what I'm saying? Like, no one. That would be very cool.
I would like down, that. That I'd be down with that. That and stuff like that. Because,
yeah.
But
anyways.
What was the one? There was like the popular theory that, or on social media, Master Saul is the Sith.
Oh, yeah. I don't
want that. Because
I don't think that'll happen.
That's Palpatine all over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good guy. No, really.
I think it's Soul. The Jedi did something bad.
Maybe.
On that planet with me and that, and I think Saul might have been the one that was like, we shouldn't do this, and the other ones were like, shut up, you.
Yeah.
And that's why he feels still guilty about it, but not quite as much as the other ones, you know. That, yeah. You know, yeah. I think that, you know, I think we're going to find out they did some bad shit.
We'll see how it goes. You guys can catch us again here on the Genreverse YouTube channel next week. Get subscribed. Lots of content, anime stuff, reviews, reactions, live streams, doing gaming and more. Podcasts go up on all your favorite podcast apps like Spotify and Apple. LRMonline.com, your place to go for all entertainment news. Look, there's Cam right there. All entertainment news written. The podcasts go up. Celebrity interviews from the LRM YouTube channel. And if you've ever considered writing in the realm of entertainment, give us an email, michael@lrmonline.com. Say what you are passionate about and how you would like to contribute to the site doing about that passion. So yeah, Shockey, anything else you wanted to throw out there?
No, I mean, let us know how your thoughts in the comment section. Are we way off on the Acolyte? Are we just three grumpy old guys that, you know, can never enjoy Star Wars ever again or something?
The fire. I will admit, the fire on the ship, like that type of fire in space, that was really hard to swallow.
When
the little compression tank blew up, mm-hmm. like one, you can have some fire. We've all seen the ridiculous.
Yeah.
But this was just like campfire sitting there burning. And I'm like, what is that doing there in space?
The vacuum,
man?
It would just go.
Yeah. Anyways, Cam, anything?
The fire.
No, I don't think there's anything else to add that you guys haven't already added.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time. May the Force be with you.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.